Chapter 22, Go-Karts and Strange Animals. In less than 2 weeks, the boat dock was completed. The Beach Boys directed the project, and many of the strong young teenagers had been eager to help. Uncle Louie had designed the long pier that extended into the water. Zahir, Vahid, Kenzie, and Milan had mined rocks every afternoon for an underwater foundation. The professor had sent in the needed elements for submersed cement, and with Uncle Louie's printed instructions, the Beach Boys had learned the right way to mix it. Rocks now formed a tall foundation that stuck out of the water and went far enough out to tie up the 5 boats that floated next to it. All along the flat wooden surface of the pier, they had nailed in brass pins to attach ropes to anchor the boats. The pier also gave everyone a great platform from which they could dive into the lake or catch fish. It would also be, as Georgia had suggested, the perfect place to watch the Beach Boys when the shows began. The new pier and the boats were a welcome addition for everyone except Odin and Pontsy, who had been spending a lot of time at the north end hidden in a forest. Apparently, they had built a new shack in the forest, as it was too hard climbing the cliff every night to sleep. Occasionally, they were seen racing to the lake when their chemical concoctions reacted unpredictably. If anyone ever needed a carry cart, there were always several stashed away on their side of paradise. They were always first in line for lunch and dinner, but they refused to come to school in the mornings, choosing to sleep in instead. Generally, they were willing to trade rocks and cart loads of dirt for those who wanted to put in their own gardens, and the orchard girls were their best customers. From the orchard girls, they would get pottery or baskets of fruit to trade at the store with Nancy. At Louie's request, the professor continued sending in more reactive supplies, glad to see that Odin and Pontsy were occupied with some form of experimentation. Resigned to the fact that Odin and Pontsy weren't going to be studious individuals, the professor assured Louie, they may not be going to school, but they are learning something. One morning, during the science lesson, Kenzie begged, "Can we please do another competition?" They had learned a lot about problem solving and math and had improved their writing skills, but after building boats, roads, and piers, many were eager for another hands-on project. "Who would enjoy another interactive activity?" Uncle Louie asked. Only 5 tinies didn't put up their hands. Lily, Dia, and Rosa preferred to just sit and listen. And since Odin and Pontsy weren't even there, they couldn't answer either. "All right, we will do another project," Uncle Louie agreed, "but this time I will choose the groups." There were sighs of relief and groans of disappointment. "What will we build this time?" Vahid asked curiously. Uncle Louie stroked his white beard. "I think it's time to experiment a little more with wheels and transportation," he considered. "We are done building houses and don't need so many carry carts." He clapped his hands together, remembering an idea he had seen online. "I think our one unnamed hill would be perfect for go-karts." Almost everyone was excited to know what a go-kart was. Uncle Louie walked over to the sand and drew a picture of the idea. "I'll get some instructions for you tomorrow," he said, "and we'll get to work." For the next week, the Tinies kept busy with go-kart production. Pontsy heard about the project and began showing up to take part. Uncle Louie put him in a group with Damien and Franz. Uncle Louie's choice of groups worked well, and since they had instructions to guide them, the new project went much more smoothly than the boat competition had gone. Pontsy and Franz fooled around with the small saws for building boards and accidentally cut each other. Tina came to their rescue with the first aid kit, but Pontsy and Franz lost their saw privileges for the next 2 weeks. Amy, Rosa, and Georgia were in a group together, which they enjoyed, aside from Rosa's tendency to whine and give up whenever she didn't understand something. Since this wasn't a competition and they were all simply following instructions, Damien was quite willing to help the young ladies beside him, as well as his reckless partners. As they used the saws to cut the sticks to the right size, Damien did all the cutting for his group and often helped the girls. Sometimes, all 3 boys helped the girls glue their pieces together, and the girls would help the boys. Of course, sometimes the boys also swiped the girls' pieces and a big chase ensued, and occasionally Georgia or Amy would hide the guys' wheels and watch with great amusement as they searched for them. One day, as they were trying to attach the wheels to long metal bars that the professor had sent in, Damien said,
"Hey, Amy and Georgia, you should try surfing. I'll give you lessons."
Amy stopped trying to force the wheel onto the bar. "Do you really think I could do it?" "Some lessons you could," he encouraged. The thought of swimming out to the big waves was intimidating to Amy. Uncle Louie had taught them enough to keep afloat for a few minutes, but she didn't feel confident to go in over her head. However, she was intrigued.
"I'll try to get brave enough," she told him.
Damien laughed, his brown eyes merry. "I'll be right beside you," he said. "You'll have the board to float on. It's fun." It did sound enticing, but Amy wasn't fully convinced, and Georgia was fearful. Franz looked up from under his stringy brown hair. "Girls are so scared of everything," he remarked with a disdainful laugh.
"Not everything," Georgia and Amy answered defensively.
Rosa spoke up timidly.
"No, just scary black creatures and drowning."
Poncy confessed, "I'm not really a fan of drowning either." With a smile in his direction, Rosa giggled.
"But you aren't afraid of spiders," she praised.
Noticing that Amy was really struggling to get the wheel on her metal bar, Damien offered to help. She passed it to him gratefully. With his big hands, he clamped it on in 2 pushes.
"Thanks," Amy and Georgia both said in unison, quite impressed.
"Did you hear that strange animal last night?" Franz asked as he marked lines on a wooden board for Damien to cut. Damien and the young ladies looked over at Franz with surprise.
"Strange animal?" Amy frowned, working on the frame of her cart.
"How can there be a strange animal in paradise?"
"Remember the spider," Franz smiled, waggling his eyebrows mysteriously.
"No one knows how that got in."
Rosa's bottom lip started to tremble.
I need to use the outhouse," she mumbled, rising to her feet. "I'll be back."
And with that, she ran off. Georgia was looking carefully from one young man to the other.
What did this animal sound like?" she asked with a nervous giggle.
Franz made a screeching noise, followed by a low growl in his throat.
"I've never heard that," Amy stated confidently.
"Down by the water, we hear a lot more during the night than anyone else," Franz told her.
"But then we're outside in the open, not shut up in a big, safe house."
I think I heard it the other night," Poncy remarked thoughtfully, as he held the board for Damien to cut.
It sounded huge, even bigger than Frodo. "I'm glad I'm not in a hammock. I wouldn't be able to sleep."
Looking skeptically from Damien to Franz and then to Poncy, Amy asked, "Are you just trying to scare us?"
"Warn you is more like it," Damien put in, speaking seriously. There was not even a hint of a smile on his face. "You're pretty safe in that mansion on the hill, but if you ever hear that screech at night, just make sure it's not something trying to get in."
"And if it is?"
"Then yell for us," Damien told her earnestly. "We aren't far away. We'll come track it down."
Georgia and Amy looked at each other uncertainly.
When school was over that day, Amy went with Georgia to help Vanitha cut hair. Almost all the guys were in line for a cut. Kenzie, who didn't really care what his hair looked like, as long as it was out of his eyes, was quite happy to give his 2 bananas to Amy. Everyone else wanted Georgia or Vanitha. But even though Kenzie was Amy's only customer, she did feel that she was getting better. Most of her cuts were even, she just lacked artistic flair. Watching her friends, Amy took careful note of what all the guys liked. Damien wasn't so keen on close cuts, he liked his blonde curls. Franz kept his stringy brown hair on the longer side, just above his eyes. Charlie always wanted a clean, close trim. Zaheer liked to keep a few dark curls on top with a close trim around the sides. Malayan liked his blonde hair to have a layered look, and Vahid kept his dark brown hair short and tidy. Odin had still not been convinced to cut his long blonde hair and preferred to keep his wild, disheveled appearance. Poncy didn't really care what happened to his hair as long as it wasn't too short. After watching the others get a new look, Lima decided his afro needed a trim. Since Georgia and Vanitha were still working on Poncy and Vahid, he walked over to Amy.
"See what you can do," he said. "Just give me a trim and I promise I'll dig up whatever you want for Mining Hill."
"I would love a big flat stone for the patio we want to put in front of the mansion," she said, picking up the scissors.
"Sure, I'll find you a good one," he promised.
With all good intentions, Amy tried to give Lima a stylish haircut, but his hair was very matted from swimming. She struggled to make it all smooth. It became shorter and shorter until Lima begged,
"Just cut it all off."
"I'm so sorry," Amy apologized.
Georgia was sweeping all the strands of cut hair into a pile.
"You look good with a really close cut," she encouraged Lima.
Lima shrugged.
"My head looks so small," he moaned. But that's okay. I won't need another cut for a long, long time. When they were done their work, the girls watched the surfers practice until it was time for dinner. It was fun sitting on the pier, dangling their legs in the warm water and chatting about stuff, even laughing about Fran's wild tale of the strange animal. They are just teasing us, Georgia stated disdainfully. I saw Fran's wink at Poncy. Naughty boys, Amy smiled with a shake of her head. Oh, look, Vanitha called out. Damien is riding inside that wave. All the girls looked, and for a moment they couldn't see the tall, strong Tiny anywhere. Then all of a sudden he popped out from under the curling white water. Clapping and cheering, the girls caught Damien's attention, and he spun around on his board, which impressed them even more. As they watched him swim back out to catch the next wave, Vanitha asked the girls, "What color will you paint your go-kart?" The young ladies launched into a discussion on which colors went best with which and whether to decorate their go-kart with a swirl or stripes. Eventually, they heard the dinner bell ring. Twilight was falling as they raced to the store for the evening meal. Nancy and Milan had prepared a delicious fish chowder with lots of vegetables and bread. Since darkness was falling earlier and earlier after dinner, everyone headed to their homes as soon as they had finished eating. It was already getting quite dark. There were no moon or stars to be seen above. On the pathway up Rainbow Hill, Georgia and Amy found themselves glancing sideways nervously. Amy reminded her, "They were just teasing us." "I know," Georgia replied confidently. "The professor would never let a strange animal get in." "Well, aside from the spider," Amy qualified. "True, but that was an accident. I'm sure it won't happen again, ever." Even though the girls were talking bravely to each other in the darkness, the mere thought of a strange animal in the woods sent shivers up their spines. As they approached the top of the hill, they remembered the solar twinkle lights. A switch was close by. "Let's turn on the lights," Georgia said eagerly. "Then we can see better." "The Beach Boys hate them," Amy reminded her. "They can turn them off if they don't like them," Georgia stated, undeterred. "Okay, it would be nice to see." Carefully, they made their way along the well-worn path to the clearing. They were within 20 footsteps of the light switch when they heard rustling in the forest. Immediately stopping in their tracks, they looked around. It was dark. There wasn't any moonlight. "It's just a squirrel," Amy said dismissively. The rustling started again and there was a loud thud. It was much louder than a squirrel would make. Georgia reached over and took Amy's hand. "Is it a deer?" she asked in a high, wavering voice. "Let's run home," Amy whispered. And then they heard it. It began with a screech and became a low growl. The noise was exactly like Franz had described. Hugging each other, the young ladies weren't sure which way to run. There was another loud thud, and then the screech was closer. The growl was louder. In fact, it sounded close enough to grab, or to grab them. Both girls began screaming. They were too frightened to move. It was too dark to see anything clearly. And then the huge thing attacked. The girls tried to fight it off, punching and kicking and screaming as loudly as they could. A familiar laugh made Amy look up, and she realized they were punching and kicking Damien and Franz. Damien held Amy's arms against her sides. He was laughing so hard he could barely speak. "Whew, you girls are tough," he howled. "What fighters!" Amy's heart was beating very fast and her mouth was dry, but she was relieved the strange animal was just two boys playing a prank. "Don't ever do that again," she scolded, breaking free. "Heh, we scared you, didn't we?" Damien teased, still laughing. "I'm sure everyone in paradise heard you scream." Suddenly, the lights turned on. Amy looked over at Georgia, who had broken free from Franz and was dusting off her pink sundress. "I was terrified," Amy admitted, "and I'm glad I got some good kicks in. You deserved it." At that moment, Zaheer and Milan came running up the hill. "Is everything okay?" Zaheer asked, looking at Amy in alarm. "We heard someone screaming. It sounded like they were hurt." "The guys just played a mean trick on us," Amy told him with a smile. "We thought we were being attacked by a strange animal that screeched and growled." "A strange animal?" Zaheer questioned, unamused. Damien tried to explain the conversation that had taken place earlier that day, only he thought the whole thing was so funny that he could hardly tell the story without doubling over in laughter. Franz had to fill in the details. Zaheer didn't seem to see the funny side. "Why are you looking so serious?" Damien retorted. "It was just a joke." Then Uncle Louie arrived, a little out of breath, and the story had to be explained once again. He was also upset. I don't want you scaring the girls like this, he said. It sounded like someone was really being hurt. Terrifying people is hurtful. We don't want this happening in paradise. Damien and Franz walked off muttering something about overreactions. And then everyone else parted ways for another quiet, peaceful night in paradise. Although it wasn't all that quiet or peaceful. Retaliatory, silly pranks were being discussed in the girls' mansion, and the occasional growl and peals of laughter were heard coming from the lake.